नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। आई वेलकम ऑल द गेस्ट फॉर दिस इवनिंग्स भगवद गीता लेक्चर। टुडेज वर्स इज फ्रॉम द 10th चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता, टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। आई विल रीड द संस्कृत वर्स। यू मे रिपीट आफ्टर मी वन लाइन एट अ टाइम। विस्तरणेतात्मनो योगम् विस्तरेणात्मनो योगम् विभूतिं च जनार्दन विभूतिं च जनार्दन भूया कथया तृप्तिर्हि भूया कथया तृप्तिर्हि शृण्वतो नास्ति मे मृतम् शृण्वतो नास्ति मे मृतम्। ओ जनार्दन, अगेन प्लीज डिस्क्राइब इन डिटेल द मिस्टिक पावर ऑफ योर ऑपुलेंसेस। आई एम नेवर सेशिएटेड इन हियरिंग अबाउट यू, फॉर द मोर आई हियर the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Purport. A similar statement was made to Shruta Goswami by the rishis of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. That statement is, Vayam tuna vitripyama uttam shloka vikrame yachtinvatam rasa jnanam svadu svadu pade pade. One can never be satiated even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. Those who have entered into a transcendental relationship with Krishna relish at every step the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord. Thus Arjuna is interested in hearing about Krishna and specifically how he remains as the all-pervading Supreme Lord. Now as far as Amritam, nectar, is concerned, any narration or statement concerning Krishna is just like nectar, and this nectar can be perceived by a practical experience. Modern stories, fiction and histories are different from the transcendental pastimes of the Lord in that one will tire of hearing mundane stories, but one never tires of hearing about Krishna. It is for this reason only that the history of the whole universe is replete with references to the pastimes of the incarnations of Godhead. The Puranas are histories of bygone ages that relate the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. In this way, the reading matter remains forever fresh despite repeated readings. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I welcome all the guests for this lecture. And we will be speaking from this 10th chapter, 18th verse, where Arjuna is asking Lord Shri Krishna to describe his mystic power of his opulences. He says that, I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. So, over here, very important point made by Arjuna is that description about Krishna is like nectar. One may hear about various materialistic topics, but topics about Krishna are transcendental. They give divine pleasure to the senses. The sages of Naimisharanya, they had assembled similarly, and they were also inquiring from Shaunaka Rishi about various topics. Basically, they had, these sages of Naimisharanya, they had come together to inquire about the welfare of the world, to perform sacrifice for the welfare of the world. So we see that in previous times, these sages who used to perform sacrifices, they used to come together for the purpose of doing welfare activity or to do charity activity towards the benefit of all of humankind. These sages, they were not doing something for their own sense gratification, but they were engaged in performing charity for the world. We see that nowadays also there are various conventions, or there are various business conventions, there are various political summits or political meetings where leaders come together, but the purpose of coming together is not for doing some welfare activity or for doing some charitable activity for the world. Purpose is to increase their own sense gratification or to increase their own power and own authority. So that is because the whole atmosphere is it is contaminated by this desire to enjoy material nature. But the sages of Naimisharanya, they had come with true charity, with the purpose of doing true charity. What is charity actually? Charity means when you do some welfare activity for someone whom you don't know, or rather you do it with the intention that there is no expectation of return in that. And you do it with a very selfless attitude, and you do it for someone who is not of immediate relation to you. So that is actual charity. So the sages of Naimisharanya, they had come together to inquire about what is the highest welfare activity for all of mankind. And the answers given by Shaunak Rishi to these questions, there were various answers given, but then in one of the verses, Shaunak Rishi describes, Savai Pumsan Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktira Dokshaje Ahetuka Ahapratihita Yatma Suprasidati. That Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo. For all of mankind, Paro Dharmo, that is the highest religious activity, the culmination of all religious activity, Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje, that is devotional service unto the Adhokshaje. Adhokshaje is Lord Shri Krishna. Adhokshaje is another name for Lord Krishna. So, Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje, Ahetuki Apratihita. How is that service? That service is Ahetuki, that is, it is without any motive, personal motive. Ahetuki Apratihita. Uninterrupted and unmotivated service. Ye Atma Suprisaditi. That is, such devotional service will only satisfy the heart. It will only satisfy the soul. So, these sages, they were aware of what is the highest welfare activity. They were not doing these activities on the level of mundane philanthropy or mundane altruism so that they could feed the hungry people, or they could clothe the people who are clothless, or they could build hospitals for those who are deceased. So that was, they knew that these particular activities, these are all on the level of the body. These are all temporary activities, and they will not give the true benefit to mankind. If one wants to give actual benefit, then one has to actually do activities which will give true satisfaction to the soul. Ye Atma Suprisiddhati. So the true satisfaction can be achieved only when one engages in unalloyed devotional service, that is unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. Only when one engages in such service does one derive true satisfaction. So Arjuna also describes that topics about the Lord are like nectar. What is the quality of nectar? The quality of nectar is, it provides immortality, and at the same time it provides satisfaction. We see that during the Amrit Manthan that was performed by the demigods and demons. At that time, during the Amrit Manthan Leela, even the demigods were aspiring for nectar. Why? The purpose of the nectar was so that they could become immortal and they could engage in their activities, they could engage in the administrative activity, whatever activities they were in, or whatever responsibilities were given to them, they could perform those without any fear. So that was the purpose of doing this Amrit Manthan or getting this nectar. So these demons and the demigods, they were aspiring for getting this nectar, and the purpose was to get rid of all fear so that one could become immortal and enjoy sense gratification, enjoy the pleasures of this world without any hindrance. So, but the true nectar, as we see over here, the true nectar can be achieved only when one does activities for the satisfaction of the soul. By nature, we are pleasure seeking. Everybody wants this nectar. Everybody wants eternal happiness. Isn't it? All of us want eternal happiness. Nobody wants to be in a state of moroseness or depression. Everybody wants to enjoy and be eternally happy. So, because we are aspiring for nectar, that aspiration is always there within our heart, but we do not know where to search for it. The reason, that is because we are searching in temporary activities. But as we said, as in this verse, it is described that Vayam tuna vitripyama uttam shloka vikrame yach shrinvatam rasak jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. That one can never be satiated even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. So a real nectar is in hearing about the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That is real nectar. So that is the secret. When one engages in hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord, gradually he is able to relish the nectar. So in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a similar verse comes. Which glorifies descriptions about the Supreme Lord. Shrinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridayantasto Abhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikim Tadarajastamo Bhava Kama Lobhadayasche Chetayete rana vidam stitam sattva prasiddhiti evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hridaya grantes chidyante sarva samshaya shiyante chasya karmani drishtva eva atmaneshvare. So in these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the process of understanding Krishna is given. The process of understanding Krishna is given, that is by hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastu Abhadrani Vidhunoti Surit Satam. So that nectar that we are all desiring for, that nectar is there in the pastimes of the Lord, in the description of the Lord, in the activities of the Lord, or in the devotional service to the Lord. But we are not able to relish that nectar. Why? Because we are in a diseased condition. Just like a jaundice patient, if he is diseased, if he is having a diseased liver, he will not be able to taste the sweetness of sugarcane juice. But the doctors advise that you please take sugarcane juice, continue taking sugarcane juice, because that is the only medicine for you. So as he continues taking sugarcane juice, gradually, that disease condition gets removed and he comes to his true healthy condition and is able to relish the sweetness of that sugarcane juice. So similarly, we are all eternal servitors of the Lord. That is our true constitutional position. But because of being separated from the Lord, because of being in this conditioned nature and falsely identifying ourselves with this material nature and trying to be the lords of this material nature, we are not able to relish that eternal nectar of the Lord. We are not able to relish that. So the process is to continuously listen to the or hear to the pastimes of the Lord, the glories of the Lord, and gradually all that contamination within the heart will be removed, and one will be able to taste the nectar that we are all looking for. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nitya bhagavate sevya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtikim. So one will be engaged as one continues listening to the glories of the Lord. and performs devotional service, one will get fixed up in that devotional service. And one will be free from the influence of the three modes of nature, and that is rajas and tamo, that is mode of ignorance, mode of passion. One will get free from these modes, and sthitam sattve prasiddhati, one will be fixed up in the mode of pure goodness. And in this way, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tatve vijnanam mukta sangase jayate. In this way, one will be able to understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And vidyate hridaya granthis chidyante sarva saunshaya shiyante chyasya karmani drishto eva manishvare. That is, all the misgivings that are within the heart, that will be completely removed, and one will be able to understand the Lord as He is, asanshayam samagram, that is, without any doubt, without any speculation, one will be able to understand the true glories of the Lord. One will be able to understand Lord Krishna as His glories, and in this way one will be fixed up in His devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So the nectar that we are all aspiring for, that is there in the pastimes of the Lord, in the glorifying the Lord, and one can realize that only when one engages in this process of devotional service, which starts with the process of hearing. One great Vaishnava Acharya has said in his bhajan, Shavana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhi Jana Atmani Vedana Govinda Dasya Bhilashare. That Shavana Kirtana Smarana Vandana, the process of understanding Krishna or devotional service, is the ninefold process. Shavana Kirtana Smarana Vandana. It starts with hearing, chanting, smarana, that is remembering, kirtana, so shravana kirtana, smarana vandana, that is offering obeisances to the Lord, pada sevana dasyare, that is in performing service for the pleasure of the Lord, pada sevana dasyare, pujana sakhijana atma nivedana. And when one engages in menial service to the Lord, then one reaches to the platform of performing very conjugal service to the Lord. And in this way, one becomes very dear to the Lord, and he is able to relish the nectar of the devotional service to the Lord. So, that is the process of realizing experiencing the nectar, or of relishing the sweetness of the Lord. Here, second mention is Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki. The second mention over here is that modern stories, fiction and histories are different from the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, in that one will tire of hearing mundane stories, but one never tires of hearing about Krishna. So the difference between hearing the pastimes of the Lord and the difference between hearing the mundane stories is that one will get tired after listening to mundane stories, because those the mundane stories and the histories of this world, they are all on the level of providing satisfaction only to the senses. They only tell us how to increase our sense enjoyment. And the pleasure that we can get of sense enjoyment is all temporary, and it is perishable. But the pleasure that we get out of engaging in devotional service and hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, that is eternal, that is inexhaustible. So all this is this desire to speak about mundane topics, that is because all of us have this desire within us to speak. That urge to speak is there. There are three kinds of urges within everybody, within all like all of humankind. The three urges are the urge to speak, then the urge of the belly, and the urge of the genitals. So these three urges are there, and one cannot avoid them. But the best way to control these urges is to engage them in the service of the Lord. So all of us have this urge to speak. And the urge to speak is because we just want to glorify about ourselves. We just want to talk about mundane topics so that we can actually think about different ways to enjoy sense gratification. So when we refer to this urge to speak, we refer to useless talking, such as that of the impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers or of persons engaged in fruitive activities. So people who are not engaged in devotional service to the Lord, they will only be talking about impersonal topics, or they will be talking about fruitive activities, that is, activities by which one can increase one's sense enjoyment. And they write volumes of useless books as a result of the urge to speak. So many books are written on these topics which are not related to providing the true solution, that is, devotional service to the Lord. That is because that urge is there, and they write volumes of books like this on useless topics which people of those kind who are looking for that kind of temporary pleasure, they are eager to read those kind of books. So to counteract this tendency, we have to divert our talking to the subject of Krishna. So because all of us have this tendency, what we need to do is we have to engage ourselves in as much as possible in about hearing and talking about the pastimes of Krishna, about the subject of Krishna. So anything that is related to Krishna, topics about Krishna or the words spoken by Lord Krishna as in Bhagavad Gita, all these words, they are satisfying to the soul. And only they can provide with real transformation. There is one verse which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Nayad vachas chitrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinanda karihichit tadvayasam tirtham ushanti manasa na yatra hamsa nirmanti ushikshaya. So those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, they are like place of pilgrimage of the crows. So these books or these words which are not glorifying the Lord, they are like place of pilgrimage of crows. We might see that sometimes in a garbage area or on a dumping ground, there are various crows which are assembled, and they come together and they create a lot of noise. It seems as if they have come there for a pilgrimage, and they are glorifying some great personality, or as if they are glorifying the Lord. It seems that they have come for a pilgrimage over there. But their purpose is simply to relish the dirty things, which are over there. So they get pleasure out of relishing the garbage over there. So that is the purpose of the pilgrimage of crows. And if one does not describe the Lord, and one describes about the mundane topics of this world, then one will also be performing activities like the crows. He will only be like the pilgrimage of crows. But the perfect persons who are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, like those devotees who are engaged in the transcendental activities of the Lord, they are inhabitants of the transcendental abode because they are constantly thinking about the Lord. So they are inhabitants of the transcendental, they have nothing to do with the topics of this material world. They are constantly thinking about the transcendental topics. Those are topics about the Supreme Lord. That is why they do not derive any pleasure in these mundane topics. And they are not affected by the temporary pleasures and pains of this material world. So that is the glories of hearing about the transcendental topics of the Lord. Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadvati api namani anantasya yashvankitani yat shinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. So that literature which is full of description of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, pastime of the Supreme Lord, that these pastimes, they actually create a transformation, a revolution in the hearts of all of humanity. Only these pastimes will give us actual pleasure. Because they will create a transformation within the heart. The reason why we are not able to experience eternal happiness is because our hearts are all contaminated. But by hearing about these transcendental topics, there will be a revolution in the heart. And we will aspire for hearing only transcendental topics, and we will lose the taste for listening to all these mundane topics. And such literature, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So those who are actually seeking true welfare, both for themselves as well as for the rest of mankind, such perfected beings or such honest people, they listen to these literatures, although they are not composed properly. Although they are composed imperfectly, even then they will listen to such literature. So, one has to make an effort, although it might seem very, not so pleasurable, or it might seem very difficult to understand the pastimes about the Lord, and not so interesting at times. We might just have many other pressing responsibilities. But if one sincerely takes out the efforts to listen to the glories of the Lord and engage in any topic that is related to the Lord, if one tries to listen to that, then gradually the transformation or the glory, the cleansing of the heart will take place, and one will be able to experience true happiness. So, as Srila Rupa Goswami, as we see today, is the disappearance day of three great personalities, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhat Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So these great Vaishnava Acharyas, they have written various Vaishnava literatures, as well as they have written Vaishnava bhajans, where they have explained the futility of trying to enjoy the material world and the importance of engaging in devotional service to the Lord. All of us know that that with every setting of the sun, we are coming one day closer to death. So if we just simply engage in talking about mundane topics, what is going to happen? It is just like the croaking of the frog. It will only give pleasure to our own near and dear ones. But just like the croaking of the frog, the only thing it attracts is the serpent which is listening to the croaking, and with that sound of croaking it comes and then it swallows the frog. So that is the only thing that attracts by the croaking. So similarly, if we just simply talk about mundane topics, we will only attract the serpent of time. And one day, before we can realize, we will have to give up this body, and all these efforts and all our attempts to try to enjoy material nature and all our attempts to gather so much opulence will all come to an end, and we will again have to again take birth again and again continue this cycle of repeated birth and death. So the real disease or the real problems of this life are that one has to constantly undergo repeated birth, old age, disease and death. Even if we try to enjoy and we gather as much opulence as possible, but one cannot escape from these four miseries. So if we waste our time in simply hearing about all these mundane topics, we are also going to one day be swallowed by this serpent of time, and we are going to experience again these miseries of birth, disease, old age and death. So only way that we can get rid of all these miseries is by constantly reminding ourselves that we need to hear about the topics of the Lord, engage in devotional service to the Lord, and constantly think of ways by which we can remember the Lord. A wonderful pastime of this kind appears in the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna, where we see that how the Lord is attracted by someone who is constantly trying to remember him and listen or always trying to understand his topics. So we see the story of Princess Rukmini. Princess Rukmini was the daughter of King Bhishmak, who was the king of Vidarbha. And she had five elder brothers, and the eldest of them was Rukmi. So although King Bhishmak wanted to get his daughter Rukmini, he wanted to get her married to Lord Krishna, but Rukmi, because he was envious and because he was not very much favorable to Lord Sri Krishna, he wanted to get his sister married to Shishupal, who was also another enemy of Lord Krishna. So Rukmini, because she was constantly, right from her childhood, she was listening always to the glories of the Lord. She was always hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. And she was aware about the great qualities of the Lord, that the Lord is full of six opulences. And no one can compare to Sri Krishna, even Lord Hari, Lord Shiva. He is trying to worship the Supreme Lord in order to get rid of these qualities of ignorance, and because of which, I mean, he has acquired this quality of ignorance to carry out the orders of the Lord. But even he is praying to the Supreme Lord in order to get rid of these qualities. So we see that great personalities all are trying to worship the Supreme Lord. They are trying to always think of the Supreme Lord. So Princess Rukmini, she was also aware that the supreme being in this world is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Sri Krishna. And only by hearing about him, only by thinking about him, can one relish true happiness. So she was, because right from her childhood she was hearing about the Lord, she had this desire that if I want to get married, I will get married only to Sri Krishna. Otherwise, I would not like to get married to anyone else. But Rukmi, because he was envious in nature, he wanted to get his sister married to Shishupal. And she was aware that my brother is not very much intent in getting me married to Lord Krishna. So she became morose. But because she was born in a very royal family, she was aware of all the arts of diplomacy and politics. So she said, she thought to herself, there is no point in remaining morose, but I have to show my sincerity. I have to make all attempts in order to achieve the favor of the Supreme Lord. And because she was constantly always engaging in hearing about the Lord, glorifying the Lord, so she was aware that if I sincerely pray to the Lord and try to achieve His favor, then surely the Lord will be merciful. Because the Lord also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashwat shanti gati kaunteya prati jani name bhakta pranashyati, that my devotee never perishes. Announce it boldly to the world, O Arjuna. So neha vikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam api asti dharmasya trayato mahato bhayat, that even by engaging in even little bit of devotional service, one can get freed of the greatest of fear. And what is the greatest of fear? To again come back in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So because she was aware of the benefit of always hearing about the topics of the Lord, she said to herself that I don't mind, even if I have to take millions of births, but I will only try to engage in devotional service, and I will only try to achieve the favor of the Lord. So even if I have to perform austerities and penance for millions of lifetimes, I don't mind. But I will not divert my mind to any other human being. I will not allow myself to engage in service to anybody else, but I will only engage in devotional service to the Lord. And in this way, she was constantly thinking about the Lord. And then she thought that now the way I need to communicate to Lord Krishna that I would like to get married to him is that she thought that I will write a letter to him. And in this way, she wrote a letter and she handed it over to one very learned Brahmana. Because Brahmanas, they are all devotees of the Lord, devotees of Lord Vishnu. They are servants of Lord Vishnu, and they are very simple, but they are very honest, and they always engage in worship. With sincerity, they worship the Lord Vishnu. So she knew that because other people might cheat her, but a Brahmana will not cheat her because they are true servants of the Lord. They have no personal motive, and they are aware of the greatness of the Lord. So that is why she handed over the letter to the Brahmana and requested him that please go and deliver this letter to Lord Krishna so that he may come to know my situation and he may come to my rescue. So in this way, the Brahmana left for Dwarka. Lord Krishna had also heard about the wonderful qualities of Srimati Rukmini Devi, about her intelligence, about her attractive features, and about her expertness in various activities. So because Lord Krishna had heard about Rukmini Devi, he had also desired to get married to her. And then the Brahmana came to Dwarka with the message. Lord Krishna, to set an example to all of mankind, he welcomed the Brahmana with great respect and he made him sit on his own throne. Although the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the proprietor of all the worlds. But to set an example, he made the Brahmana sit on his own throne. And he worshipped him and he inquired from him in a very respectful manner that I hope you are able to execute your religious duties and you are not experiencing any kind of difficulties. And I hope you are maintaining a peaceful mind. So over here we see that how Lord Krishna had inquired from the Brahmana. He had asked him a relevant question, which was related to his position as a Brahmana. The Brahmanas, they are supposed to lead very simple lives and engage in religious activities for the benefit of mankind. And because they are engaged in the devotional service to the Lord, their mind is very peaceful. And only with a peaceful mind can one think about engaging in devotional service to the Lord. So because of that, Lord Krishna asked him a very relevant question, that is, which was related to his position as a Brahmana. And the Brahmana was pleased by this. He then, after that, asking due questions, and then he, of course, fed him with sumptuous prasad, and then he made him take rest on a very nice silky bed so that he could relieve himself for all his fatigue. And then the Brahmana was very satisfied with the service which was given by Lord Krishna. So the Lord, to set an example, he has shown that serving the Lord is of course important, but serving his devotees is much more important. So through this example, he has shown us that how serving his devotees is more important than serving the Lord. In this way, he engaged in satisfying the great Brahmana, and then after the Brahmana was fully satisfied, he of course expressed the reason why he had come there. And of course, Lord Krishna is the Paramatma. He knows why, what is there in within everyone's heart. But just because, to set an example, he served the Brahmana in a very nice manner. And then the Brahmana, after being satisfied, then he asked the Brahmana, okay, now since you have come here and I believe that you have some purpose in coming here, please let me know why you have come here. So the Brahmana, he mentioned to the Lord that you are the Supreme Lord, you know everything. But of course, I have come here with a specific purpose, and that is I have come here to deliver this letter which has been given to you by Srimati Rukmini Devi. So he handed over the letter of Rukmini Devi to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna read in that letter, where Rukmini Devi described that I have been aspiring to get married to you, but because my brother does not want me to get married to you, he is getting me married off to Shishupal. And I would request you to kindly come and pick me up from this impious people. So she described how, to the Lord, she described, because she was having this political background, she described that there might, when you come here, there might be some resistance and people might want to restrict you from taking me away. And there might be some killing of some soldiers, or there might be killing of some women, or killing of some family members. But I do not mind that. You do not need to worry about that. But at the same time, because she was diplomatically and politically trained, she explained that on a particular day, that is before the Swayamvar, before the marriage, it is a practice that the princess goes to the local deity, the local goddess, and she offers her respects and takes her blessings in order to achieve a good husband and in order to achieve a happy married life. So it was, and it was a custom of the family to visit the local goddess. So she said that when I go to this, when I go to visit the local goddess temple, at that time, either while going to the temple or returning back home, at this time it is very convenient to come and pick me up, to come and kidnap me from this assembly of all impious people. So there are various kind of marriages in the previous Vedic system, in the Vedic culture. There was, of course, the Swayamvara, which was like an arranged marriage, where the relation was fixed, and then with great respect they used to welcome all the kings, and they used to welcome the prince, and then the father of the princess or the king used to give his daughter in charity to the prince or the king. And then there was the administrative class. They used to either also engage in Gandharva viva or in Rakshas viva. That is, Rakshas viva means they used to come and forcibly pick up the bride from the assembly. That is when when there was some resistance, and if the prince very much desired to get married to that princess, then he used to come and show his prowess in the assembly of all the other assembled princes. And in this way, he would establish his right or establish his power, and then he used to pick up the bride and he used to take her, and then he used to get married to her. In a very, of course, Vedic manner, he used to get married. So she recommended that you can marry with me. The only way I can see that you get married to me is by engaging in this Rakshas Viva, Rakshas Swayamvar. So then it was decided that Lord Krishna would come and he would pick up Rukmini Devi from this assembly of all the royal princes on that day of Durga, when she used to go to worship the local goddess, that is Durga. So on that day, Rukmini Devi, she went and she worshipped and she prayed to goddess Durga that please make sure that I get married only to Lord Krishna. And she, with a very eager heart, she prayed, and she sincerely she prayed that please fulfill my desire. Since I have prayed and I have aspired right from my childhood, I have been constantly hearing about the Lord, about the glories of the Lord, and I have given my heart to the Supreme Lord, and I will not be happy, or I will not be able to sustain my life if I get married to anybody else. So after praying sincerely, she came down the stairs. She was trying to see signs where she could see that the Lord, Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, is whether he is come nearby, whether she was trying to see if there was any news where Lord Krishna had come, but she could not see that. And within her heart she was feeling morose, she was getting more and more anxious. And as she was passing, of course, all the other royal princes looking at the beauty of Srimati Rukmini Devi, it is described that her beauty was similar to that of a blossoming lotus. So just because of that beauty, the royal princes, they were fainting, they were swooning, and they were falling unconscious after looking at the beauty of Rukmini Devi. But Rukmini, her heart was totally given to Lord Krishna, and she was constantly thinking, when will Lord Krishna come and he will pick me up from this assembly? And then, as she was thinking like this, from the corner of her eye, she saw that from a distance, Lord Krishna is coming in his chariot, riding rapidly, and he was coming through this assembly of royal princes just like a lion comes within a herd of jackals. and he comes and picks up a lamb from a herd of jackals. So similarly, Lord Krishna came with great speed and he picked her up, Srimati Rukmini Devi. He made her sit in his chariot and he took her away from this assembly of princes, just like a lion takes away a lamb from the herd of jackals. So in this way he took her away, and all the princes, they started abusing, and they started shouting that, see how this king has taken away how the Lord Krishna has taken away the Rukmini Devi from this, from us. So let us go and try to capture him and get Rukmini away from him. Because Shishupal was promised by Rukmini that he would get Rukmini married to her. So because of that, these royal princes, then they thought that they'll go and chase Lord Krishna, and they went behind Lord Krishna. But of course, the Supreme Lord, he's the proprietor of all the universes, and to defeat him, one cannot think of defeating him, because he is the master of all the universes. And the Supreme Lord, because he had his own army which could have easily defeated, but the Lord took away Rukmini with such speed and with such confidence, and he very much he consoled Rukmini that, do not worry, everything will be fine, that my army is there to take care of all these other enemies, and your brother Rukmini and all other the Shishupal and his army, so you don't have to worry, my army is there to take care of them. Because Rukmini was very anxious, she thought that her brother will come and he will try to fight with Lord Krishna and he might get killed. But the Lord assured her that, you don't need to worry, since I will make sure that you come safely with me to Dwarka, we will get married and nothing will happen to you, and my armies will take care of you. But even then Rukmini, somehow or other, he came and he tried to fight with Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna was about to kill Rukmini with his sword. But when he saw Rukmini's condition, Rukmini was pleading that, please pardon my brother. Then just as a token gesture, he just shaved off certain parts of his head and then he left him, just to show that I have spared your life. So in this way, Rukmini was married to Lord Krishna, and she achieved the desire that she had constantly been aspiring for, that to get married to the Supreme Lord, to engage in eternal devotional service to the Lord. And the Lord granted her wish. And we see from this pastime that the true quality that is required to achieve the favor of the Lord is to constantly hear about the topics of the Lord, constantly remind ourselves that the purpose of our life is to engage in devotional service. The purpose of our life is to purify our heart and to taste the eternal nectar that we are all aspiring for. The nectar which over here Arjuna is mentioning, that I want to taste the nectar of your words. So the words which are coming from Lord Krishna's mouth, or words which are related to Lord Krishna, which are the topics of the Lord, such words are, they are purifying to the heart and the soul, and they provide true nectar, true happiness. So one can achieve the favor of the Lord simply by following in the footsteps of Srimati Rukmini Devi, by constantly hearing, constantly glorifying, constantly hearing about the topics of the Lord, glorifying the Lord, and engaging in devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and serving His devotees with great humility and sincerity. Recently, we had one eminent personality by the name of Sriman Peter Barwash, and he was mentioning over here that how appreciation for what you have got is a very desired quality. One must try to develop appreciation within one's heart for whatever he has got in life, and try to be grateful for what he is receiving. So just by saying these simple words like thank you, one can actually express his gratitude and his appreciation for what one gets. So we have got this chance now to engage in devotional service, because after millions of births, one gets the chance to engage in devotional service to the Lord. So since we have got this chance, one must not try to give up this chance. One must not be careless, or one must not be very casual, but one must be with very sincerity and with a grateful heart. One must engage in devotional service with all sincerity and take full advantage, and try and find ways and means by which he can mold his life in such a way that we can get more and more chance to hear about the topics of the Lord and hear about the transcendental glories of the Lord. In this way, as it is mentioned in the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikim, that gradually all the contamination of the heart will be removed and one will be established in unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the Lord, and one will be able to release that true nectar that one is constantly been aspiring for. From millions of births, we have been aspiring for tasting that nectar of eternal happiness, of eternal service to the Lord. That nectar will be able to relish only when we engage in devotional service to the Lord. And that is why we also see that the Puranas, or the histories that were, they are the histories of the bygone ages that relate to the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. So the histories which were there in the Vedic literatures, they were all complete with the pastimes of the Lord, of the various incarnations of the Lord. They were not as like the histories of the present day world, where we only see how various conquerors or various personalities, how they try to enjoy the material world by acquiring more and more opulence and creating more wealth for themselves and enjoying more sense gratification. And in this way, at the end of life, they were left with nothing, as they could not carry away anything with them. So the histories of this world, they do not give us the process of how one can taste true nectar. But by understanding the Puranas and the histories of bygone ages, which are filled with the pastimes of the Lord, of the various incarnations of the Lord, like we hear how the Lord has incarnated in various avatars, like he incarnated in the form of Matsya avatar, the fish incarnation. Then he appeared, of course, in the Matsya avatar, and to save the king Satyavrat from when the world was getting submerged underwater, and in order to save the Vedas and to save King Satyavrat from this inundation of the world, he came in the Matsya avatar. Then he came in the Kurma avatar in order to support the Mandara mountain and to provide nectar, so that the demigods were aspiring for nectar. He came in the Kurma avatar. And then he came in the Varaha avatar to save Mother Earth, because Mother Earth was being plundered at that time by Hiranyaksha. He was trying to plunder the earth for gold and all the resources, just like present day scientists, they are trying to plunder Mother Earth for oil and its other resources. So similarly, he was also trying to plunder Mother Earth for gold. So Mother Earth was disturbed, and Lord Varadev, he came in order to save Mother Earth. And then Lord Narsingadev, he came in order to save his great devotee, Prahlad. And then the Lord incarnated as Vamanadev in order to save another great devotee, who is also the grandson of Prahlad, that is Bali Maharaj. And then the Lord appeared as Parshuram in order to relieve this the society of all the of the impious kings, all the impious Kshatriyas. The Lord, although he was a Brahmana, but he came there and he annihilated all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth. And then the Lord came in the form of Lord Ramchandra, and he set an example of what is a true king and what is like a king of true character. The Lord came as Lord Ramchandra. He came, and of course he killed Ravana and all the impious kings. And then the Lord came in the form of Krishna, to save all his devotees, the Pandavas, from the impious Kauravas. And after that, the Lord came in the Buddha avatar in order to save the world from the violent activities that were done under the guise of the Vedas, or under the pretext of the Vedas, that activities which were being done, violent killing was taking place of animals. So to save the world from these violent activities, the Lord came as Buddha and he preached non-violence, ahimsa. And then of course Kalki avatar, who is going to come at the end of Kali Yuga, when people will not be in a position to be reformed and nobody will be in a position to understand spiritual topic. At that time, the Lord will come as Kalki avatar to annihilate all the miscreants from this world, and then again to re-establish religion, the Lord would appear as Kalki avatar. So the Lord, we see that in this Purana, that these are filled with all these various incarnations of the Lord, how he incarnates in order to provide pleasure to his devotees and to get rid of all the impious or the miscreants. And in this way, when we constantly engage our minds in hearing these topics, all the contamination that has accumulated within our heart will get removed, and we'll be able to relish the eternal nectar of the pastimes of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So, I thank all the assembled guests for coming and listening to this wonderful topic from the Bhagavad Gita. And I ask for forgiveness if I have committed any offense. But if there are any questions, I would be glad to answer those. So, if you have any questions, you are please welcome to ask. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.